It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hiya, Amy. Well, today we're going to see what is happening with David now that he's rescued his wives and children and the wives and children of his men. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to be reading verses 21 through 31 today. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David and who had been left at the brook Besor. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may lead away his wife and children and depart." But David said, "You shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike." And he made it a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day. When David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." It was for those in Bethel, in Ramoth of the Negeb, in Jatir, in Aroer, in Siphmoth, in Eshtemiah, in Rakal, in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, in the cities of the Kenites, in Horam, in Bor Ashan, in Athek, in Hebron, for all the places where David and his men had roamed. Okay, so David and his men have rescued their families and are now heading back home. Now remember that David had 600 men following him. When they went off to retrieve their families, 200 of the men were so exhausted that they had to stop the pursuit, so the other 400 continued and secured the victory. So now, as the 400 men who are with David are returning, they come upon the 200 men who were exhausted, and here comes trouble. I love that the Bible explicitly states that it was the wicked and evil men and worthless fellows and troublemakers who suggest not sharing the plunder with these 200 men. Right away, we are told not to listen to the world's idea of fair, but to realize that what they are suggesting is evil and is going to cause trouble. The evil men are suggesting an evil thing. Truly, these men were protesting what they insisted wasn't fair, but the truth was, they weren't actually concerned about fair. They were being greedy and selfish. Now, David gets to be the parent here and say, "Hey, this isn't about fair. You can't do that with what God has given us. You didn't win this battle. God did. God rescued our wives and children and brought victory. This is all God's, and we will be sharing this with all our men. It's not yours to dole out. It's God's, so get over it and move on. No one is going to listen to your whining anyway." And then David makes it a law. Honestly, that makes me laugh more than a little bit. This was important enough that David actually created a law that stays in effect for Israel for years to come. When David gets back to Ziklag in the Philistine lands, where their base camp is, he sends some of the plunder to the elders of Judah who were his friends. He shares the plunder with God's people. Now, it is definitely worth noting that the people who David shares the spoil with are the people who were his friends, those who had assisted him and been kind to him during his wandering in the wilderness, running from Saul. Remember, David is of the tribe of Judah. Also note two cities who are not mentioned in this list, Ziph and Keilah. Remember, the people of Ziph told Saul not once, but twice, where David was hiding. The people of Keilah were the people who, when David learned that they were under attack by the Philistines, he asked God if he should go help, and God told him to go. And David went to Keilah and rescued those people. Then Saul learned that David and his men were there, and David asked God if the people of Keilah would hand him over to Saul, and God told him that yes, indeed, these people he had just saved would hand David and his men without a second thought over to Saul. So the people of those two cities are left out of any receipt of these spoils. David was giving to God's people the spoils taken from God's enemies. This wasn't a private stash of spoils, and it wasn't stuff that had been taken from the Israelites by the Amalekites that David was gathering back. David is demonstrating his willingness to bless the people of God with what is taken from God's enemies. He's showing a clear contrast here between himself and Saul. Saul was the king who sought to always revenge himself on his enemies. Saul also sought his own glory and power and wealth. David demonstrates that it isn't simply for his own agenda that he acts here. It is for God, and he doesn't seek to keep all the spoil for himself. Again, David knows that the victory wasn't attributed to their own prowess, but to God delivering the Amalekites into David's hand. His actions here also help to smooth the transition from Saul as king to David as king when that happens. The people are much more willing to accept him as king after seeing how, despite his treatment from Saul, he has dealt more than honorably with the people who helped him in his flight. So, where is all of this leading us to focus today? Well, here is what we must never forget. Everything we have belongs to God. None of it is ours. We have been entrusted with it to steward what we have been given, but at the end of the day, none of it's actually ours. Also, all those material things, they all burn, just like the city of Ziklag was burned. They all can be destroyed. We aren't supposed to store up for ourselves treasures here on earth, but treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy. One practical way to get into that habit is by treating our stuff as what it truly is, God's stuff. We need to remember that when we cry out, "No fair," especially with regards to our possessions, everything we have belongs to God. Instead of complaining that someone took our toys or that isn't fair, stop and think about what you're saying. Granted, there will be times when things are not fair, but I firmly believe that 99.9% of the time, not fair isn't really not fair. It's part of living in a fallen world. All that we have is God's. All that we are given is from God. When we get that through our heads and truly understand that, when things are taken away, we won't react with such resentment and anger. We'll be able to let go of those things with grace, understanding what is of true importance in our lives. And I'll tell you this much, it isn't that car or that TV or even that house. Think about it. It is through His grace that we are even breathing. Everything else is a blessing and a gift. Our sins should have resulted in our deaths already, but through His grace, we are alive. We need to stop, "That's not fair," and realize that God could be saying, "It's not fair to us." It's not fair that we should continue to sin, especially after He sent His Son to save us from our sins. How ungrateful are we? How unfair is it that we continue to disregard this sacrifice? We need to look and remember that we are so blessed instead of whining when someone else gets something we want. Seriously? We spend so much time looking at those around us and asking questions like, "Why didn't you give me that new promotion, God?" Or, "Why didn't you let me have that ministry role?" When we realize that all we have is from Him and all of it is to be used for His purposes, not our own agendas take the back seat. Our perspective goes from, "Hey, that's mine, give it back," to, "Thank you for entrusting me with what is yours, Father. Show me how you want me to use it for your glory, not mine." So that's my question for us today. Are you hollering out, "No fair"? instead of realizing that you should be grateful that God has not given you what was fair or what you deserved? Do you see all the things in your life as God's or as yours? Do you understand that you are simply caring for what is His? Even as you raise your children, do you realize that even they are not yours but His? Everything we have is our Father's. How are you using what you have been entrusted with to glorify Him today?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.